Anyway, I'm blessed to be here today. There's a few things I'm going to share with you today, and I already know it's kind of dangerous because I'm always full of the Word of God, and I generally just takes a little priming to get it to start to leak. And then you put me in front of a hungry crowd like this, and that could be real dangerous because I might spring a big leak, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, praise the Lord. You guys are hungry, and that's a good thing. Amen. Now, I'm going to start off with a word that Pastor Brandon especially asked me to bring as an introduction to the message that I have. So you can take this as a prophetic word. But I just want to lay some groundwork, too, because, you know, if I were to say to you, God said about Jesus, you should listen to him, you would say, yeah. And, I'd be telling the truth, and you'd be agreeing to the truth. But how much more impact does it have if I take you to Luke in 28, and we start talking about when Jesus, after 8 days, he went up on the mountain and he took three of his apostles with him. And while they were there, they were praying, they fell asleep. When they woke up, there was Jesus standing on the mount with Moses and Elijah. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? And Peter speaks up and God speaks from the cloud. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. So how much more of an impact does it have if we put it in the context than if I just say? So I'm going to put a word in context here that I've been sharing just because of the emphasis of what God has put behind it by putting it in context. So it's been a couple months ago, actually, now, that I was at a leadership retreat back at Morningstar Ministries back in South Carolina. And I was asked to be on a prophetic panel on the opening morning and just ask the Lord what he would want to release or what word he might have. So I did ask the Lord. And there was five of us on the panel, and I brought up Luke 8:18. I felt like the Lord was saying when I prayed that Luke 8:18 was very important for the season that we're in. And what it says there, it says that to be careful how you hear. Yeah. Well, I like to use two different versions because another version says be careful how you listen. Yeah. And so I really emphasized, I felt that's what the Lord was saying. Be careful what you're hearing. Be careful about what gets in your ears. It's a word or an encouragement from Jesus about discernment, that we have to pay attention to what's coming into our brains, okay? So I shared that, and I also brought up the other side of that, is that where we are today, the false prophets of today are mostly in the media. And so many of these voices that are influencing people, I'm mostly concerned about the influence they have on people in the church. And they're actually influencing people in the church to get into discussions and get into beliefs that are detrimental to them, to themselves first and foremost, to the movement of the Word of God and to our nation as a whole. So it concerns me that we have these voices of the false prophets of today on the airwaves that people are really not paying attention to what's coming in their head. So they're listening. I mean, they're not being careful about what they're hearing. So I shared those things and one other thing. So that was in the morning. That wasn't recorded or anything like that. It was just for our group. That evening, Rick Joyner came in and he shared. And he started, almost the first thing he brought up was Luke 8:18. Be careful how you listen. Be careful. He didn't bring up two versions, but and he brought it up from a military perspective. And he said, look, if you're in the military, they spend a lot of time when you first get in there in boot camp, you know, teaching you to follow orders. The reason is because if you don't learn to follow orders and really pay attention to detail, you could be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You could be too close to the enemy when they decide to bomb the enemy, and you're not in the safe place. So you could be taken out by friendly fire, so to speak. My words, not his. But that was his example. So I thought, well, that's pretty good confirmation. So the next day, we had a guest speaker come in, Lance Wonow. He came in and stayed for a couple of days. And so his first session, he came in. Now, he hadn't heard, obviously, what I shared at the panel, and he hadn't heard what Rick shared, but he got up there, and almost the first thing he brought up was Luke 8:18. Be careful how you hear, be careful how you listen, from another perspective. But I thought, well, that's really good confirmation. And so again, to put this word in context, if I just said to you, you know, the Lord's saying, be careful how you listen, you'd say, yeah, okay. But by telling you this story, hopefully it's impacting even more. So that evening, a few of us were hanging out. And we talked about a number of things, and afterwards, Lance kind of followed me back to my hotel room, and we were talking. He was on a different floor than me, but he followed me, and we were talking, and talked about a number of things. And one of the things that it surprised me, at the end, when we were getting ready to go to our respective rooms, he goes, what do you think I should teach on tomorrow? which kind of surprised me that he would ask me that. And I said, well, you don't know it, but already Luke 8:18 has come up 3 times. I'd like to hear you teach on it more. I said, and I'd like to hear you go into the false prophets, the media, the you know, that we have to discern the voices. And the next morning he did that. And not only did he do that, but he did how I did it with him, 2 versions. Be careful how you listen, be careful how you hear. And then he went into the false prophets, and then he actually started talking about it takes the spirit of Elijah to take out Jezebel, and then, and also her false prophet. So he went into the story of Jezebel and the false prophets and the spirit of Elijah. And then 2 days later, when he got back to his studio, he did a message which was on that subject, which I posted. I thought was really good. So here, I'm bringing that to you today. So now, I shared this with our church, actually, when I came back from this retreat. On that particular Sunday morning, I was asked, would you just give a word, whatever the Lord might have from the retreat? I said, sure. So it was only supposed to be a little word, but because the Spirit came down on Pastor Daniel, he couldn't speak. And so what happened was the Spirit just took over the meeting. And so basically, the only thing that was allowed to be spoken was this word. And so that, in other words, the Lord put emphasis on this word by making it the word. Amen. And that was at our church. Okay, so then I had set up a meeting with some of the pastors in town because I wanted to share some of the things from back there that I felt were specifically would be a blessing for pastors. And, of course, I met with them, and one of the things I brought up with everybody is this word, Luke 8:18. Be careful how you listen. So I brought it up in that meeting. And then I went away to Africa. When I got back, I had a meeting with the prophetic group over at Engaging Heaven, and that morning I also brought this up along with other things that I felt were for the prophetic people. Okay, so for the prophetic company, I shared this again. Okay, this is the one thing I've shared with all the different groups, but other things I've tailored to the various groups. So I shared that with them that morning, and then later that afternoon I got a text message from Claudia, who runs that group, and she says, Lloyd, after our meeting, somebody was listening to Greg Locke, and this will tie it in with you guys, and he said, quote, the Lord said to him, in this season, it's not about your talk, it's not about what you're saying, it's about your ears and what you're hearing. Now, I think I would take that as confirmation. Well, they did. When they texted to me, they said, this is a confirmation of what you told us just this morning. Well, I'm bringing that to you. As not only has it been a word I've been sharing, and I guess I'll continue to share it as long as the Lord wants me to, but also that that ties it in directly with you. I know you guys would have received this word regardless, but when I tie it in with that last little bit that just came around here, that your overseer is, your apostle is receiving that same word in a different way, but directly to him. So there you have it. It's interesting too, because I was talking to the Lord back there, and I was saying, Lord, it seems like you can, you know, you give these great revelations, and you bring, you know, I may bring them out. And some people are like, whoa, this is amazing. And other people are like, huh? Yeah, and some of the times the people are like, huh, that's nothing, you know. It surprised you. And I was actually kind of saying this to the Lord. And, you know, sometimes you speak to the Lord, and it's rhetorical. You think you're just saying it, and then he answers. I didn't know I was even asking the question, but I just brought it up like the Lord is kind of funny like that. And he said, Lloyd, he said, he took me to John chapter 12, where it says that Jesus said, glorify your name. And God spoke from heaven and said audibly, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And then it says, and the people heard it. And some people said it thundered, and others said it was the voice of an angel. Yep. And you know, then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, Lloyd, I have the same problem. When I speak, some people receive it as spiritual and supernatural, and other people think it's background noise.
Yep. Yep. Amen.
Well, we want to be the kind of people that can discern it, that we're being careful how we hear, that when God speaks, we discern it's not thunder, it's the word of the Lord. Amen. Yeah. We want to be able to hear from heaven and know what it means and know what he's saying for us, so that we can take those directions, be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing at the right time. Amen? You want to punish disobedience? The Bible says that you can punish disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So I'm still working on that one. When I like punishing disobedience, and the way I get around to that is by obeying the Lord myself. So if I'm doing my own thing by following His instructions, I get to crush up the devil's head every once in a while. So that's, but my focus is on me and what the Lord has given me to do. Amen. So I want to talk to you today. The message I want to talk to you about is called God's Eternal Purpose. So what, you know, He has a purpose, and all that He has planned that is beyond the beginning of the foundations of the world, and He's still working on it, and we're a part of it. But I want to talk about what it is. It's part of the great mystery, which Paul talked about, that if the angels desired to look into it, but they couldn't see it. The ancient prophets of old desired, but they couldn't see it. And it was a mystery kept hidden from ancient generations, but it's been made known to us today. Well, that's what he said 2,000 years ago, but we don't know it today because it hasn't been taught to us. And this isn't the whole thing, but this is part of it I want to share with you today. And I know the Lord's already been working on you because I heard the worship today and the songs you chose. But anyway, what was the reason that Jesus came? 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth. The devil was a sinner from the beginning. Yes. The Bible begins with the beginning, but there's actually things that happen before the beginning.
That's right.
Right? The beginning of the Bible is talking about things that occurred that we're dealing with right now. But time, I mean, I can't even say time was before that because it wasn't time then. It was just eternity before that. Anyway, but he was the sinner from the beginning, and Jesus came to destroy his works. And he's allowed us to join him on this wonderful project.
Amen.
Which is destroying the works of the devil. I like that. Amen. So Colossians chapter 2, 14 and 15. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed or spoiled the principalities and powers, and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So there was a time before the ages, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There's even so much that was hidden that if they'd known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And even Jesus wasn't so excited about that. Remember in the garden? Lord, if there's any other way, let this cup pass. And thank goodness he obeyed, but really, he knew it wasn't going to be fun.
Right.
So he said, Lord, is there any other way? Well, there was another way, because, you know, if the devil can't stop something, like for instance, when Jesus was born, you know, there came a time when the Magi came, right? And then Herod found out about it, so he killed all the babies from 2 years and under. Jesus and his parents had skedaddled. That's not a biblical word, but it's a Montana word. But anyway, so they had skedaddled, so they were fine. But the point is the devil, he did the same thing with Moses. He did it. If he can't, he'll try to stop it in its infancy.
Yeah.
But if he can't do that, if he can't stop it to begin with, then he tries to prematurely promote it, right? So in the wilderness, he met him. He said, he had the different temptations, and one of them, he says, if you'll fall down and worship me, all this that has been delivered to me, I will give it to you. Now, if he hadn't had that, Jesus would have said, you can't give it to me because you don't have it. But no, he came to get it. Jesus came to get it. So what the devil was doing at that point, because he'd failed in taking Jesus out up to that point, so now what he's doing is offering him a shortcut. Right at the beginning of his ministry, right after he gets out of the water from being baptized, then the Holy Spirit takes him into the wilderness, and at the end of that time, he gives him a shortcut. So I happen to just believe that when Jesus was in the garden under all that pressure, sweating blood, literally, he says, if there's any other way, well, he was probably thinking, there is another way.
Right.
It was already offered to me, but I'm not going to take the shortcut.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take the shortcut. We don't want to take shortcuts either. You know, I mean, if the Lord gives you one, take it. But, you know, there's an old saying that the longest distance between two points is a shortcut. That's in the woods. That usually ends up being the truth. So it happens with spiritual life, too. If we take our own shortcut, generally it doesn't shorten anything. It puts us on a course that the Lord didn't put us on. Now we got to come back. Okay, back to this message, though, see, because I don't want to get too far off there. That's all part of what I had here by sharing it that way. I don't have to go to every verse. But okay, so the intent or the purpose, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent. So this is the intent. That now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by his church. Wow, God has an intent for us to accomplish something that was hidden, but shouldn't be hidden anymore. It's still hidden to most of us, but it's not supposed to be.
Yes.
So now the devil knows about it now because Jesus was raised from the dead and he preached it to the principalities and powers. But now the devil's been working overtime to keep us from knowing what was hidden, but isn't, what shouldn't be hidden to us anymore. These should be things that should be revealed to his people so that we can walk in the power that comes along with understanding these things. Okay, to the intent that his wisdom may be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what we're talking about today, his eternal purpose. All right, God is the creator. The Father is the source of all creation. The Son is the agent of all creation. And the Holy Spirit is the executor of all creation. Creation is from the Father, through the Son, and by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We are in the spiritual nursery now. We're learning. And why do I say that? Because even the oldest of us is pretty young when it comes to the things of the Spirit.
Yes.
Now, I don't have any respect for the devil, but I have respect for the devil. What do I mean by that? I disdain him. The one entity I'm allowed to hate. I don't like what he does. I can get mad at him, actually, and complain to the Lord about him. But he's been around a lot longer than me. According to Proverbs, he's a fool. You know why? Because according to Proverbs, the fool is the one that doesn't consider the end of his actions. The fool doesn't consider where he's heading. Whereas a wise person, even though he may not be wise in the things of the world, if he chooses to go with the Lord, he's, according to the book of Proverbs, wise because he has considered the end of his actions. Actually, that's the job of an evangelist, is to get people to be at least once in their life to have wisdom and think ahead. Most people don't think that far ahead. But an evangelist, if they can get us to think ahead to eternity for just one time, you can change their, not just their life, but their eternal life, and that will put them in the category of someone that's wise, even if they're not very smart. But here's the deal with the devil. He wasn't wise because he didn't consider where he was going when he sinned. But if you're going to play chess with someone that's been playing chess for 10,000 years, they've learned all the moves. So even if they're not real smart in why they left heaven to play chess, they'll probably still beat you, right? Because they've been practicing a lot longer than you or I. So when it comes to the things of the Spirit, we are heirs, okay? We're not just servants, we're heirs. But we're pretty young.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've just been born again, right? I tell people, look, you're living in the last days. What I mean by that is as soon as you were born, you entered the last days. Because you're not going to be around here that long. Amen? Until the resurrection, and then you enter eternity. But in the meantime, now, it's by faith we're walking in the things of eternity. But as soon as you were born, if you're planning on living 120 years, or 400, whatever you're planning, fine with me. That's still the last days. That's still not very long compared to eternity. So let's utilize the time we have as a wise person and learn from heaven how to walk in the things of the Spirit. Because once we get to heaven, you're not going to need to learn then. You see, you're in training for reigning now, right? So what we're learning now and what we're doing now and who we're helping to influence has a lot to do with the blessings that God can give us now. And now's the only time we have to prove ourselves. In heaven, there's no question, right? When you get to heaven, you're not bringing all your baggage with you. You're not bringing all this stuff with you. You know, it's just you. And the Spirit of God that's in you that you have turned over to him in the meantime. So anyway, I don't want to go too far there because I could go for a long way on that subject. But just so you understand, if you go up against the devil, you're going to lose unless you go with the Lord. It's not that the power that's in you isn't greater. It's yes, it is greater. But you haven't learned how to use that power yet. We're still learning. He already has been using this. So I'm not saying he's bigger than us. We are seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. But it's in Christ Jesus. And we're still learning what that means. It's not Christ in you is salvation, but you in Christ, that's your walk. And that's what we're learning. And today I'm going to teach you some more of. So that's the transition that we're in. Right? We are heirs, so we're learning. It says in the Bible that when you're an heir and a child, you don't differ from a servant, even though you're an heir of all.
Yeah.
We're in that stage of learning and growing, right? But we don't want to underestimate what we're growing into and the great blessings that we have as heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. But let's not pretend that the devil hasn't had a lot more time to use his gifts and learn how to use them, and we're just now learning. So let's just not go without the Lord. If we go with the Lord, we're going to win, right? But let's just go where he takes us and when he sends us and make sure he's our sword and he's our salvation. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. Galatians 4:1, I've just said all this. And now I say that an heir, as long as he's a child, he does not differ from a slave, though he's master of all. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. And in male and female he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, etc., etc. And God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. So you know, every time one of the days where God created, it says at the end of the day, he said, hey, he looked and he said, it was good. And then the next day, it was good. And he gets to this day, the sixth day, and he looks after he creates man and gives him his assignment. He says, it's very good. It's very good. I know that people are always trying to get man out of the equation when it comes to nature, but nature's not trying to get rid of man. Nature's groaning till we would step up as the sons of God and take our place, to take dominion and bring the blessings. But he was given an assignment: be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue. What does subdue mean? It means to take authority over, right? And so, when he brought the animals to, and he said, here, Adam, you name the animals. Whatever he named them, that's what they were named. God didn't name them. Adam named them.
That's right.
Once you name them, you have authority over them. Your dog didn't name you. You named your dog.
Yeah.
And now your dog eventually will come to that name that you gave him. Ooh. So Adam had authority. Well, I always felt that when God put Adam over the beasts of the field, right? He was just training him on taking authority of the beast of the field. In other words, there's more places in the Old Testament talks about demons in light of beasts than animals in light of beasts. But they're both called beasts. So I just want you to understand, there's a lot you can learn about taking dominion over demons by how you take dominion over wildlife, over animals that we were called to take dominion. It's part of our training, I believe. Even though I believe I have more authority than a grizzly bear, I don't mind telling grizzly bears back down, but I also arm myself because I'm not dumb. Okay, Genesis chapter 2:18, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. So there's the first place in the Bible where man's not good is where he doesn't have a woman. He doesn't have his helpmate. So let's not kick the ladies out of ministry in the church, because it's very good when we're working together. Okay, that's God said it, I didn't, all right? It's right there, okay. So subdue means to pull down, to put into subjection, to overpower, to by a superior force. So what are we supposed to subdue? Luke chapter 4, verse 5 through 7, Jesus was up in the wilderness, as I was mentioning. The devil took him up to a high mountain, and he said to him, all this authority I will give to you, because it has been delivered to me.
That is right.
If you will just worship me. Right? He said, it's been delivered to me. Now, I always like to say that Adam delivered authority to the devil, but he didn't deliver all authority to the devil. Because if he had given him all authority, the devil would have run him over with a rhinoceros the very next minute, and that would have been the end of it. It would have been a very short Bible. So, but he did get authority to do bad things, but thank goodness he never got all of the authority. Now, the only reason he had any authority was because God, who had all authority in heaven and earth, gave authority to man on earth. He kept authority in heaven, but he gave authority to man on earth and then was beginning to teach him on how to use that authority. Then man, through sin, gave some of that over to the devil, right? So now you've got man has some authority, the devil has some authority, and God still has authority in heaven. So now the battle has always been, since then, is that who is going to empower the authority that man still has? Is it going to be the devil or is it going to be God? And that's up to us.
Right.
Amen? And he cursed the devil, and he said, he says, you serpent, you're going to go on your belly and you're going to eat the dust of the earth. And think about that. What do snakes eat? Not dust.
No.
Right? Mm-hmm. So what was he talking about? What are you made out of?
Dust.
We're made out of dust. So what does the devil feed on? Our flesh.
Yeah.
If we stop feeding him, he will starve to death. If we would just stop sinning, the devil would just shrivel up. That's what he's feeding on, is our flesh. So let's just make a commitment to walk in forgiveness and grace towards one another. And as soon as you sin, get forgiveness. And let's starve. Let's put the devil on a diet. Amen. Let's make him a real skinny snake. Okay. Okay, so the battle really is about who you're going to worship. But the devil just said, hey, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all this authority that's been delivered to me. Matthew 28:17-18. And they worshiped him, but some doubted. This is when Jesus was there resurrected. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. This is after the resurrection. So now, first time ever, ever since God gave it to Adam, right? He gave him authority. So it's the first time since God gave Adam authority on earth that someone has authority in heaven and earth. Son of God and Son of Man. So now when you put all authority in the same office, you can get something done. Now, if Jesus has just stayed and done that, I think things might even look better than they do now. But for whatever reason, he decided to move his office to heaven and then work through us.
Yeah.
Now, there's a reason for that. But honestly, if it was just up to Jesus, I think maybe things would have moved faster. But they also would have been limited to the effect of one person. Matter of fact, one day I said to Jesus, I said, I know it's in red, so I know it has to be true. But you said it's better that you go away and send the Holy Spirit. And I said, I don't know. I know it's in red, so I have to believe it. But I'm not so sure I believe it. Because if you were here now and I lived at your house, I think it would be better for me.
Yeah.
And it was another one of those I wasn't expecting an answer. And he goes, well, yeah, Lloyd. He says, however, it would be better for you because you'd be at my house. But what about everybody else?
Oh, sorry.
He says, by the Holy Spirit, I can be in everybody's house.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I'm like, okay, you win. It's in red. I have to believe it. But anyway, point is that It did slow things down in the sense that, okay, he's not here, but it sped things up in the sense of God's eternal purpose is that eventually we're going to take over every place, not just one house where Jesus was, right? But he can be in every house now. Okay. So anyway, you have because he was resurrected, they fell down, they worshiped him, and he said, look, all authority has been given to me, heaven and earth. You can compare that to other places in Joshua chapter 5, verse 14, where Joshua fell down at the feet of the one that sat on the captain of the Lord's host, and he fell down to worship him, and he didn't say get up. And you compare that to Revelation chapter 9, verse 10, where John fell down at the feet of an angel, and the angel says, look, I'll read it to you, chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you don't do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So he fell down in front of an angel, and the angel said, don't do that. I'm a brethren. Now, he's not born into the family, but he's saying he's also a brethren in the family of God. So don't worship the angels.
Yeah.
All right, now he didn't kick him out of the book of Revelation because he did that. He just reproved him, right? And John corrected. He got to keep writing. But we want to understand that when it's Jesus, I think we still fall down into that same category like it said there in Matthew 28. When it comes to Jesus, some worship him and some doubt.
Mm-hmm.
There's really those two categories to this day, even in the church. But let's be under the category of those that listen to him and worship him. And we get to stand with him now with authority in heaven and earth as sons of God that are also sons of men. There's a reason that we have authority on earth because we're made from the earth. An angel's not made from the earth. An angel's made from stardust or whatever, right? And so on earth, we have authority. Sons of man. We read that in Ezekiel. You know, son of man, do this. Son of man, I wanted somebody to do that, but I couldn't find anybody to do it. So I didn't do anything. Sons of men, because we have authority, we're made out of the dust of the earth. So angels go out on our word to accomplish things when we speak the word of God, but they need us to do it because they're spiritual, but we have a connect. We're spiritual too, but we have a connection to the and an authority over the earth. Does that make sense? That's why we're needed. That's why the devil can't do anything without it. Some son of God, son of man, I mean, giving him authority to do it. So, yeah, so Jesus received more authority than Adam ever had because he said, I have authority on heaven and earth. So not since God gave Adam authority on the earth, had all authority in heaven and earth been under the same head. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could be sons of God. John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. I did a message here recently on sonship rights, and I went through a whole list. I don't even remember how many I had, but I had a whole bunch of them. Of what rights does the Bible give us? We talk about our rights, you know, here, the as we're approaching our Independence Day, and we have rights that are enumerated, but they're not limited to those in the Constitution. But we have rights in the Scripture from God. Do we know what they are? It's much easier for you to walk in the power of those rights. But one of them is you have the right to become the children of God. It's not automatic. God's original plan, Adam was to fill the earth with the Spirit of God upon his people and subdue. But he delivered authority, so and so do we. By our choice in lifestyle, confessions, actions, we show whom we worship. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all sin. It doesn't say by one woman. It says by one man. Who is the man? Adam. Well, we know that Eve was the one making the conversation with him, with Lucifer, right? With the shining one, right? So why does it say by one man? Because man was given the authority over the garden before woman was created. The assignment to dress and to keep, to guard, was given to Adam before Eve was, she wasn't Eve yet, but before the woman was created. Now, there's more we can learn in there, but that's not my message today. But I just want you to understand that we have the authority to stop the devil, and we should use that authority more often. More often we can stop it before it gets rolling. You see? Amen. So anyway, okay. John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we want to love the Lord. Now, I want to talk about Lucifer here. I want to talk about what his job was before. Not only talk about what he's up to today. But in Ezekiel chapter 28, it says, you were in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the turquoise, the emerald. There was nine of them. All set in gold on his ephod. Okay, this is the ephod of Lucifer. The workmanship of your timbrels, the pipes, was prepared for you on the day you were created. So Lucifer was created by God, and he was created as a specific type of being. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You ever heard of the yellow brick road that leads to Oz? Well, the fiery stones is the road that leads to heaven. And you're not going to get to heaven without going through the fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You got to go through the fire if you want to get there. But, you know, we can get there. We can go through the fire. Amen. I'm interested in following that trail, the fiery stone trail. I'm interested in getting to heaven. Okay. I mean, I don't mean when I die. I mean visiting. the first description of the house of God is a ladder going up and down with angels going up and down on it, right? That's Jacob's ladder or staircase or whatever. Yeah. That's the first description of where God dwells. He called it Bethel, but my point is that if we're going to be where God dwells, we ought to be going ascending and descending, right? Yeah. All right, praise the Lord. So, all right, back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in the ways from the day you were created. So he wasn't created as a sinner. He was created perfect. Till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. We got to watch out for the great gifts that God may give us, that we don't get puffed up about the gifts that he gave us. Because if he hadn't given us the gifts, he wouldn't have been puffed up about them, right? So let's stay humble about the things he's given us and use them to serve others, to bless others. Amen? Okay. Your heart was lifted. I cast you to the ground, and I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries. Now that's actually, if you look in your margin, it's sanctuary. God has a sanctuary, and he defiled the sanctuary of God. Now who's over a sanctuary?
The priest.
So Lucifer was the priest, the high priest of heaven, over the worship in heaven, over the sanctuary. And he defiled it, so he got kicked out. All right, by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading, therefore I brought fire from your midst. I devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the people were astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. That's coming. So we know that he was the priest in heaven. We know he got kicked out and the light went out. Why in the first chapter of the book of Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light. It didn't say God created light, because light was already created. But the lights went out when he kicked out the angel of light. When he kicked Lucifer out, he turned out the switch. So then God didn't have to recreate light, he just had to flip the switch. So he said, let there be light, and there was light again. Amen? Amen. And we know Jesus is the light of the world, but Lucifer was the angel of light. Lucifer was the morning star. Lucifer, when he went out, the light went out.
Yep. Yep.
But God was not interested in light if it was corrupted. So when he kicked him out, it was like, all right, we're going to start from scratch here. We're going to clean up the sanctuary. Wow. Amen? And he has a plan to do all this. All right. Now, there were 12 gems on the ephod, on the breastplate of the high priest in heaven. But now we come to Exodus, where God's restoring this in a symbol with the Aaron and the high priest under the old order. It says in Exodus 28, verse 12, and you shall put the stones on the shoulders of the ephod as a memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial in settings of gold, same as Lucifer. But when you read the breastplate of judgment, so you shall put these stones, and I'm not going to read them just to save some time, but you can read them. There was 12.
Yes.
All right, not 9. So why is it there's 12, not 9? There's a reason for it. Okay, Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery dragon having 7 heads and 7 horns, 7 diadem on his heads. And the tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to earth. So I'm going to talk to you about archangels, okay?
Yeah.
In the Bible, there's 3 archangels. Now, in the book of Enoch, there's 7. And I'm not going to get into the book of Enoch, but I think there's things we can learn from the book of Enoch, okay? The book of Enoch is not scripture, but there's parts of it that are scripture. Because they're quoted in scripture, that makes them scripture,
yeah.
Okay? So when an apostle quotes the book of Enoch and then it gets put in scripture, that means that portion of the book of Enoch. So there's things we can learn from it. But for the purpose of what we're talking about here, and Peter said, Scripture contains everything that we need to understand the things of Spirit. So even though I can learn, bring understanding in from other places, that will augment what's in Scripture is here for a reason.
Yeah.
And in Scripture, in our Scripture, there's 3 archangels.
Yes.
Okay? Lucifer, Michael, and Gabriel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now here's what if you look at what they do, they're categorized. Michael is the warrior. Okay, he's over the warrior angels that fight for God's people. All right,
yep.
Gabriel is the messenger angel.
Yep.
He's the one that's over the third of the heavenly angels that are messengers that bring messages to you. They're the ones that visit you in your dreams. You know, Michael showing up in your dreams unless he's going to teach you about warfare. You know what I'm saying? Michael shows up in your dreams. You better hope he's not coming to get you, but he's going to teach you about who you're going after together. But Gabriel shows up, he can bring you, you know, he can bring you a message, right? And he brought a message to, let's say, Mary. And he says, hey, Mary, you know, you're going to have a child. Well, how's this going to be, you know? And he said, well, here's how it's going to happen. And then, you know, before this, he went to Zechariah, remember?
Yeah.
And he went to Zechariah and said, hey, Zechariah, you know, you're going to have a kid. He goes, I don't think so. How's that going to happen? Shut up. I mean, if you look, Mary and Zechariah almost said the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gabriel said almost the same thing, but then their response was almost, verbally was almost the same, but the heart was very different.
Right.
So just like the children of Israel going around Jericho, they weren't allowed to talk. So Gabriel told Zach, be quiet. Don't say anything for 9 months. Now he couldn't, but he did that to help Zechariah out. So he didn't hex the whole thing. We can hex the promises of God by complaining. Whereas Mary said, okay, be it done unto me according to your will. You see, so it's not the words so much as the heart. So I want a heart like Mary. You know, amen? I want a heart like Mary. But either way, I want the will of the Lord. And if he has to treat me like Zechariah, well, fine, I want to see the baby. But the point is that let's have a heart like Mary that when the Spirit does come, that we would respond in a proper way, that we don't have to get judgment. Amen?
Yeah.
I'd prefer not to have judgment. But I would prefer to have Gabriel show up, you know, or an angel show up. So an angel that brings a message, you know, we are likely to receive from that angel. We're likely to join with the warrior angels to fight against the enemy. Right? But Lucifer, what was his job? He was over the third of the angels that were worshipped. He had the sanctuary, and he was created as an instrument.
Yeah.
His timbrels, his horns, Everything he did was musical. Why? And to this day, people that get into music have a tendency, have a real possibility, I should say, of trying to stand between the people and God. You know, we got to be careful when we're on the stage not to try to stand between God and the people of God. And he said in his heart, I will raise myself up against the stars of God. It never says he tried to take God's throne. There's no way Lucifer could think that he's going to take God's throne. But he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be over all the congregation. Mm-hmm. And that was a sin. Because his job was to lead the congregation, which was made up of angels then, to God. Right. Amen? To lead the worship. Yeah. But when he put himself in the place of receiving the worship, that was it. God said, no way, I'm not sharing that worship with anyone else. Amen? So we got to keep that straight. So, all right. Jude 1:9 says, Michael the archangel contended with the devil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the voice of an archangel, and a trumpet will blow. I bet that's going to be Gabriel, because it's a messenger angel. Okay, look at this. Isaiah chapter 14. It's actually, if you look at the word El, it means God. So you have Mike El, Gabriel, and it's Lucifer. Yeah. Really is the actual name, not with an R, but with an L. But anyway, so they were the archangels. All right, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 11 through 16. Your pomp has brought you down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments, the maggot is spread under you, and the worms over you. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest pits, depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble and shook kingdoms? John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, then the true worshipers will worship this Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such who worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, he was saying this to the woman at the well of Samaria. He was saying, the true worshipers worship this Father in spirit. The hour is coming, and now is. What he's saying, it's just about here. Now, why do they say the hour? Why do they say, well, this spirit, you know, they prayed for this guy, and the spirit came out that very hour. So somebody asked the question one time, well, why did it take an hour for that spirit to come out? No, it didn't take an hour. They didn't have clocks, so they didn't have second hands, and they didn't have minutes. They had hours, okay? Hours of the day. So when it says this very hour, it means right now.
That's right.
So he's saying, look, the hour is now coming. It's just about here. Of course, he was talking about Pentecost. When Pentecost, from Pentecost on, we can worship in spirit and in truth. Something huge happened on Pentecost. Not just one thing, but many huge things happened on Pentecost. And one great thing happened in light of worship. All right. Worship in spirit and in truth. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become as a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. You have to have love. But see, the sound, the speaking in tongues, men and angels. That means voices from heaven and voices of the earth. Now it says there's going to come a day when that which is perfect is coming. Now I don't believe it's the publication of the Gutenberg Bible. But when that which is perfect is Jesus coming back. All right. So those that believe, well, the publishing of the Gutenberg Bible or even the Council of Nicaea when they put together the Bible, then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit changed. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if they say that, they really don't believe the Holy Spirit is God. Right. They're saying they do, but they don't, because it's semantics, because I'm not going to put up with it anymore. If you say you believe the Holy Spirit is God, then you can't change him.
Amen.
You can't say all of a sudden he forgot how to do this or forgot how to do that, because all of a sudden he gave us a book and said, read about me.
Amen.
No. No, he didn't. But it does say, when that which is perfect to come, tongues will cease. So when Jesus comes back, tongues will cease. So does that mean the Holy Spirit has changed? No, we have changed. Because what it means is now we will understand the tongues of men and of angels like before the Tower of Babel. So we will still have the tongues of men and of angels. The difference is they won't be tongues to us because we will understand them. And in that same verse it says, when that which is perfect comes, knowledge will cease. So when they tell me that it's that which is perfect was the Bible. I said, well, it can't be, because if it was, you wouldn't know it.
Yeah, right.
Because knowledge has ceased, right? That's actually talking about word of knowledge. Because in heaven, we won't need word of knowledge. We'll be known as we know. But you don't have to tell them that. Just tell them, look, if you were right, then we wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
We need the Holy Spirit more than ever.
Yes.
Somebody said, you can't go to heaven without the Holy Spirit. I said, you can't go to Walmart without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Don't try it. Amen? You might not come back. Okay. All right. You want to be like the Most High. All right. We must worship in spirit and truth. Oh, the tongues of men. Luke chapter 2, verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. But I want you to understand this, and you can look it up for yourself. There's no place in the Bible that says angels sing.
That's right. Amen.
Did you know that? Why do we think angels sing so much? Because we have it in our songs. We wrote it in our songs. Oh, the shepherds were on their mountain and the angels sang, glory to God. The Bible says they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill. There's one place in the Bible, in Job chapter 38, where it says the morning stars sang and the sons of God called out for joy. So there was a time when the morning stars, the angels, sang. When was it? Before Lucifer got kicked out and all the worship stopped. Now, I'm not saying cherubims don't do what cherubims do. I'm talking about the third of the angels that were under Lucifer, and their job was to worship. Their main job was to worship. Don't all angels worship? Yeah, I think Michael worships by beating up on the devil. I think Gabriel worships by bringing the messages from heaven. Okay? But something happened when the light went out, and the angels didn't sing anymore. Why? Because the singing angels got cast down here. So what are they now? We call them demons. But here's what I want you to understand. Those demons are not fighting demons. Those are singing demons. Mm-hmm. They were created to sing. So we might go up against them, and they might be tough to fight for us. But really, Michael's much tougher than them. Amen. Because he was created as a warrior, and so were the third of the angels under him. So we need to lock shields with Michael and go up against the singing angels and make them squeal.
Come on.
Amen? But who's supposed to take the place to sing?
We are.
Well, here's where I want to bring you back to that ephod that Lucifer had. Because if you look at that ephod, this is what I believe anyway. That's why I believe the Lord showed me. It doesn't contradict scripture, but I don't know of any scripture that says this is exactly it. But if you find it, you tell me. But it goes with scripture as I've been taught it. There were nine, three for each of the third of the angels of heaven.
Yes.
So when he got cast out, God began to rebuild that third that were cast out with sons of God.
Ooh.
He's raising us up to take the place of the worship angels. But on the ephod that Aaron had, there was 12, not 9. I think there's going to be twice as many of us when he's done as there were demons that were cast out.
Hallelujah.
He's raising up twice as many sons as there were sons, they were called sons of God, angels cast out. So when's the Lord coming back? Not till he gets double.
Hey,
how many is that? I don't know, but it's a lot. So don't think he's going to come back before he's done. He's not going to come back till he's done populating heaven with twice whatever the angels were, the Lucifer's angels. Right? So we've got a lot to do. We can get involved in increasing that number by getting people saved, but we can also get involved in doing what we're called to do, which is worship. And guess what? I probably don't sound as good as Lucifer. Right? He probably sounded better in those days. But you know what? God likes listening to me.
Yeah.
And he doesn't listen to him anymore.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So he likes it when we worship him.
Yes,
so we ought to be worshiping. Matter of fact, one of the greatest forms of warfare we can do is worship.
Yeah.
I remember a story that Derek Prince told years ago. And he was telling this story about in his home group in Jerusalem. And a woman brought her husband who she said had a demon. And he felt he had a demon. They came to the home group because he wanted to get prayed for. Well, they started their worship. And the guy couldn't stand it. He was like, I got to go. And Derek Prince had a word of knowledge. And he said to him, if you go, you'll keep your demon.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay, your demon will leave. And the guy said, he sat back down and he just went, you know, he just forced himself, and eventually that demon couldn't stay anymore.
Yeah.
And he got delivered without anybody laying hands on him.
Yeah.
Because he just stayed. Now that was a word of knowledge for him, but many times that can be it.
Yeah.
If we'll just sit in the presence of the Lord, he'll take care of a lot of our things. Yeah. A lot of our issues, amen?
Yeah.
All right. So ever since Lucifer defiled the heavenly sanctuary of God, he desired a people to replace the fallen angels who would worship him in spirit and in truth in his sanctuary. When Stephen was stoned, it was for bringing the information that God does not dwell in sanctuaries made with hands. When Jesus was crucified, it was for blasphemy, quote, against the temple, for saying he would tear it down and rebuild it in 3 days. Even today, the battle goes over physical worship versus spiritual worship. Wow. Acts chapter 7, verse 48. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? That got Stephen stoned. But that's the message of the New Testament. We should be preaching it to this day. We should be living it to this day.
Amen.
And I'm just going to mention this. I'm not going to read all that I could. But in Job chapter 42, verse 12, it says, the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. And remember, at the beginning of Job, he was afraid that his sons and daughters had cursed God. They were partying too much. So it says he was afraid that they might curse God. And then all these bad things happened, including his sons and daughters all died in the same day. But at the end, it says here, the latter days of Job were more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep. That's double what he started with. 6,000 camels. That's double what it has in the beginning of the book of Job. 1,000 yoke of oxen. That's double what he had at the beginning of the book of Job. And 1,000 female donkeys. Double what he had listed at the beginning of the book of Job. And also 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now that's exactly what he had in the beginning. So why weren't they doubled? Because remember, his concern was that they had cursed God. God gave him the same number to let him know, no, they're going to be there with you in the resurrection.
Woo!
You don't need to double them because they're going to be with you. So he got double. It's just in the resurrection he has double. Amen? Isn't that cool? Well, he's doing the same thing with his sons that he cast out. Now, they're not born again sons, the angels, the morning stars. But they were called sons of God before we were called sons of God. The angels were called sons of God before we were called sons of God. Now, all right. So in Job chapter 1, 3 through 6, you can read all that. Right. I'm telling you the truth. So God gave Job double all he lost, but children were the same number because in the resurrection, all his children will be there. So it answers his question at the beginning. But we have to be, you know, we have to watch that stuff in Scripture. I mean, that's in there, but we don't catch it if we just read it. We need the Holy Spirit to say, highlight it. You know, he puts the highlighter on there. Yeah. Holy Spirit highlighter.
Yeah.
Right? I like that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21. For since by man death came, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it's evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. In other words, God put everything under Jesus. He didn't put himself under. That's what it's saying. Which is how Lucifer got into trouble anyway, right? Trying to take the place of where God was. All right. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Wow. Now, well, I want you to understand there's a lot in there for another time. But remember, he gave us the right to become the sons of God.
Yeah.
It says Jesus didn't give the Spirit until after he was glorified.
Yes.
When was he glorified? After he was raised from the dead, after he ascended on high, and after he sat down at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
Then on Pentecost, he gave the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
Why did he wait so long? Let me tell you, in a nutshell, this is not the whole story. If I tell you all the stuff, you'll even believe it even more. But I'm just going to tell you a little bit. He waited till after he was raised from the dead. Because a spirit can't die, right? You and I can die in the flesh. Adam can die. Lucifer's eternal. So even though he was cast out and he was put in Sheol, he's going to spend all of life crackling in that fire. Because he was created eternal, he can't change that. Adam sinned, so therefore we inherited death, because God had given him a promise. If you eat of that tree, you're going to die, right? So then, when he did it anyway, God killed an animal and said, okay, I'm going to buy you some time with a sacrifice. And then they had to sacrifice every year to buy more time, right? Until Jesus, who was perfect. Now, he was a son of God and son of man, right? Through Mary, he had the lineage that went all the way back to Adam. Bloodline. Through Joseph, he went back in light of father's inheritance, went back, okay? But as far as the life of the blood is in the flesh, came through Mary, not through Joseph, right? But the life of the spirit came from heaven. So the egg was from Mary, but the sperm was from heaven. Jesus was son of God and son of man. Unlike anyone before, Adam was created, but he didn't have the seed of God.
Yeah.
He had the Spirit upon him, which left when he sinned. Jesus had the Spirit upon him, but when he got up, he was Spirit. Not only this, but see, here's the thing. Spirit can't die.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So could the Spirit on Moses, could Moses sin and lose that Spirit?
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Could Samson lose the Spirit?
Yeah.
The Spirit that was on sin, wasn't it the Spirit of God?
Yeah.
Sure. Could he lose it?
Yeah.
Did he lose it?
Yeah.
Did he get it back?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could Saul get the Spirit of God?
Yeah.
Yeah. Could he lose it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did he get it back?
Yeah.
No. We don't know. We don't know. As far as we know, he probably didn't. But Solomon had the Spirit of God. Did he lose it? Probably. We don't know. I hope he didn't. I hope he got it back. Samson, we know he got it back. Thank goodness. And the interesting thing was, in the day he got it back, he fulfilled his ministry in a way more tremendous way than he did in 40 years of doing it beforehand. Wow. Wow. Okay, but here's my point. It's a big point. This is big medicine, okay? I'm from Montana. I can say that. Big medicine. Jesus waited till he was dead, buried, and then resurrected. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, there's a little key. And it says, when they questioned him about who's going to be married to who in heaven, he said, you guys err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Because in heaven, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. But they're equal to the angels and are sons of the resurrection. Angels were not sons of the resurrection. But they were heavenly. Jesus is saying, for us, we're going to be equal to the angels in light of supernatural life that lasts forever. But unlike them, we're sons of the resurrection. And what he added after that was, and can die no more.
Hallelujah.
That's why, and it was a great mystery that if the devil had known, is that no one can now take us out of his hand.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen.
The devil had known that, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus really didn't want to go through what he went through, but he went through so that he could bring this to us. Even when he got up, and he prayed for them, and they fell down and worshipped him. He still waited till he got up in heaven and then gave the Spirit after he was raised from the dead. So how are you going to get a Spirit which can't die and give people authority to never die unless the Spirit dies? Well, it can't die, but it did go to hell, so it came back from hell, so you never have to go to hell.
Yeah.
That's big medicine.
Yeah.
Okay. Praise God. Now, we had nothing to do with that, but thank God he had something to do with it.
Yeah.
And Jesus kept it secret until after he got up. Amen?
Amen?
But we can die no more. Does that mean you can't backslide? You can backslide. Can you sin? You can sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about that. You can go through the fire and lose everything except your salvation, okay? But don't do that.
Amen.
Let's walk in the power of the resurrection. Let's recognize we have the Spirit of the resurrection. I can say, this is a figure of speech, okay, but I like to say, I have the Spirit that has already been raised from the dead.
Right.
Now, literally, it didn't die, but it did go to hell and got back up, you see. So I have that Spirit. I can raise the dead because the Spirit that has been raised from the dead, the Spirit that raises the dead, the Spirit that has already raised the dead is in me.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Not by anything I've done, but only I was smart enough to receive Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But he also wants to teach us these things. So if we know these things, we can walk at a higher level of faith to accomplish more things for him. Amen? Because if we have faith, we can please God. Okay, let me continue. We're getting close to the end here. All right. So, Romans chapter 16, verse 20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Pay attention. Not the God of war. I mean, he's called the God of war more in the Bible, I think, than other things. But it's the God of peace that will crush Satan. Remember, we have the shoes of the gospel of peace. So if you go up against the enemy and you're all worked up, go back to the Lord and get your shoes on. You're not going to crush his head without the shoes of peace. The gospel of peace is how we crush his head. Amen? And then we make him pieces. We break him into pieces. Okay. All right. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. If we have bruised heels, that's actually a good thing, all right? If you're limping a little bit because you've been crushing the devil's head, fine. Just get some liners in your boots, you know. But anyway, so that's, you know, if we've got any kind of bruises, that ought to be the one, amen? Instead of him beating up on us. Revelation, just so you know, sometimes sit down and read the first three chapters of the Bible and read the last three chapters of the Bible. You're going to have the whole story. Okay, so Revelation 22, 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Jesus is the high priest of the courts of heaven. He had the garment with no seams.
That's right.
I did a message one time on God's clothing. It's a pretty good message, but there's a reason. So Jesus is now our high priest, not just our Savior, but he's the high priest. Wow. We get to worship with him. And his music sounds pretty good. And our music sounds pretty good when we're with him. Even though maybe it's not tuned as well as Lucifer was in the old days. We'll get to that someday.
Amen.
But in the meantime, we do our best. And the Lord loves it.
Yes.
Amen. And the angels like it too. They like hearing the worship. They missed it, I'm sure, just because I know angels, what they're, you know, the good, the two-thirds of the good angels, I know what they were missing. Right? All right. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
The order of Melchizedek, because we have to understand that that's our order, not the Levitical order.
Right.
But Jesus is, I don't like the translation that says John 3:16. My one and only son. That's not accurate.
No.
He has lots of sons. But it's accurate to say, my only begotten son.
Yeah.
There's only one begotten son of God. And through the begotten son of God, we get the seed of Christ.
Hallelujah.
So that we have that spiritual fatherhood. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right?
Paul talked about the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's part of the great mystery too, is the great inheritance. That's for another time. But that is in that category. So, all right. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus did legally so we could do practically. Let me read you what I had written down so I get it right. The Lord Jesus did to Satan what Satan never thought could happen. But God gave Jesus Christ the position that the devil, Lucifer, desired to the point of defiling the sanctuary of God, turning out the light and getting thrown out of heaven. God never touched him and said the angels threw him out. He was the morning star. Jesus Christ is the bright and morning star.
Yes.
Lucifer wanted to be over the stars of God. Jesus Christ is over all the stars of God. He was over worship. Jesus Christ is over worship. He wanted to be like the Most High. Jesus Christ is like the Most High. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus is on the throne of God and seated at the right hand of God. He has authority of God. All the authority of God's is now his. Lucifer was an angel of light. Jesus is the light of the world.
Yeah, come on.
We are the lights of the world. God is the Father of lights. He is our Father. Lucifer was never a father. Lucifer was an angel. Jesus Christ is King of Kings, and we are the kings that he is the kings over.
No.
We reign in life as kings with dominion in life as a king. He is the Lord of lords. We are the lords that he's Lord over.
Oh.
We have lordship in relationship to worship. We have that lordship. We have that ability. He is the high priest. We are his priests. We have a great power at our disposal, greater power than Lucifer ever dreamed about. Although he may have desired that, he did not have that given to him. We have some great things ahead of us if we will delve into this and see the purpose of the ages of Jesus Christ that he wants to bring to pass in God the Father. After God made Adam, before he brought the animals to him, Adam was in the garden. The animals were where the beasts of the field were, the field. He brought the animals from the field to Adam to see what he would name them. It's interesting to note that God brought the animals to Adam to be named before the woman was made from his rib. Dominion was not given to mankind until after the woman was made. Therefore, we know that the animals were brought to Adam before he was given dominion over them. God gave Adam a training session before he gave him the authority. After Adam had dominion, God would not have needed to bring the animals to him. He would have had the authority to bring the animals to himself, like Noah did. What's interesting, though, is that in Genesis chapter 6, 19, God told Noah to bring the animals to the ark because he had given dominion to man. God brought the animals to Adam before he gave him dominion, but after he gave him dominion, he didn't have it. Man had it. He didn't bring the animals. Noah brought the animals. We have authority over the things of the earth.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to recognize, having the authority and walking in the authority are two different things. We have to learn. When John and James says, Lord, you're not doing it the right way. Can we call down fire from heaven? He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You see, we have to be of that spirit that Jesus was trying to raise them up in. The spirit of the resurrection. The spirit of the New Testament. The spirit that forgives, that brings forgiveness to the land. That releases grace. Recently, when our governor asked for a day of prayer and fasting to end the drought, and I posted his prayer, I couldn't believe the Christians were saying, well, that's ridiculous. We shouldn't be praying for that. We deserve judgment. I said, well, I brought what James said, mercy triumphs over judgment. Are you saying God's not going to judge? I said, no, I'm just saying I'm not God.
Amen.
So why do you keep trying to do his job? And you're less patient than he is. If we're crying out for God to give us mercy, don't you think God would like to listen? And if God decides not to listen, then that's his job. We don't need all these Christians running around saying, God's going to do this, God. Let me say this and I'll wrap up with prayer. In the book of Job, it says, Lucifer came in with the sons of God. Okay? He came into the presence of God.
Yeah.
And God says to him, where you been, Lucy? He said, bouncing around the earth, you know, going up and down, back and forth into second heaven. Well, my question to you is, how does Lucifer have access to God in heaven?
Yeah.
He doesn't. It says he came in with the sons of God.
Right.
You open your mouth and you let him in to the presence of God, because God lets you into his presence. And if you look at everything Lucifer said to God in heaven in the book of Job, some human said it on earth. Be careful what you say, people. And so when these people want to bring judgment, I say, Lord, bring mercy. Bring mercy. If his you know, anyway. Lord, let me pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, bless us, help us. We want to walk with you. We want to talk with you like it was with Adam in the cool of the day. Lord, we want to have a relationship with you that is that close. But we know through Jesus Christ we can have even a